I'm Dave DeWitt. This is Tested from WUNC, a look at how North Carolina is dealing with COVID-19 and what we're learning about ourselves in the face of a global crisis. Today, gathering. Phase 1 may soon become Phase 2 this week as Governor Roy Cooper considers whether to ease more restrictions. But reopening hasn't come quickly enough for some, and last week, that list included a group of churches. On Thursday, a network of churches called Return America held a rally outside the state legislative building. Reverend Ron Beatty of Berean Baptist Church in Winston-Salem said Cooper's order against gatherings of more than 10 people is a violation of their First Amendment rights.
It's time that we go back under the right sanitary conditions. We love our people. We're tired of being told that we don't have the mentality to do what's best for our people. I think we do. What we're doing has lasted for 2,000 years. That's been here longer than the governor's been here. I think it's doing relatively well. And we love the governor. We're not against him. We're just against his policies.
On Saturday, the group's wish was granted. A federal judge sided with them, and churches were allowed to open temporarily on Sunday. Another hearing is scheduled later this month to determine whether the order will continue. Cooper said he won't appeal the decision, but hasn't changed his stance on what he thinks is best for church groups.
Regardless of executive orders, I would urge every congregation to pause and consider whether indoor services are the right thing to do right now for their members. We must care for and show love to one another.
So now church leaders are left to decide how to best care for and love one another in a pandemic.
There are these historical moments that come along that call us to think about our priorities. This is one of those moments.
Reverend Nancy Petty is the pastor of Pullen Memorial Baptist Church in Raleigh. She says, despite the court ruling, Pullen plans to keep things virtual for a while.
As I started hearing about the governor releasing phase one, phase two, phase three, you know, what's going to be our approach to this? And we just continue to affirm the same thing, is that we will continue to follow the guidelines set forth by the governor and state and local health officials. And we will probably, as a community, respond even more conservatively with safety issues than what is recommended. We do not foresee at this time reopening our church for in-person worship services.
And I would guess that every church is going through some version of the process you described, and other churches are coming to very different conclusions, and you've seen that, I'm sure, play out in different ways and on the media and in lawsuits and everything else. What goes through your mind as you see other church leaders take a vastly different approach or a different plan moving forward than what you have?
You know, it's an interesting question to think about. Where does this narrative of COVID-19 and the narrative of our faith intersect, and how do we have this conversation as individual communities and as a public discourse of what is the, quote, right thing to do, or the most faithful way to respond in these times with this pandemic? For me, I think the question really does come down to a faith question, a theological question of what is our responsibility as people of faith to protect the well-being of our communities and our people, and the safety of our people and our communities. You know, for me, there are some scriptures that guide that thinking for me. And I know when I say that, I also acknowledge that the biblical text has been used for the past, you know, over 500 years to both condemn and condone issues. And so that's in our history. And so when I start saying I have some scriptures that guide my thinking on the response and what I see these other pastors doing and other faith communities doing, they too will quote their scripture on what they think supports their right and reason for gathering in person. I can only say for me, what guides me in terms of my faith and this putting this in a theological context is that I tend to really listen to the words of Jesus, who says, you know, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And I think about the scripture that says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I think about the scripture that says, that asks the question, am I my brother and sister's keeper? And my answer to that from that faith narrative is yes. And when you have a deadly virus raging the globe, to think about, you know, what is the call from our faith in that moment, I personally think it is put in new spiritual practices. Social distancing as a way of loving one's neighbor is a new spiritual practice for Christians. Good hygiene, washing our hands, is a new spiritual practice. You know, we have the practice Jesus taught us of washing one another's feet to serve one another. Well, in the year of our Lord 2020, that practice becomes washing our hands. I understand our church's history in the sense of that, you know, the church's virtue has always been to respond in these moments of crisis with kind of these heroic acts of witness and being in the world. But I think what we're learning in this moment is that our heroic acts in this pandemic are not going to be the large heroic actions that we take. It will be the smaller actions of kindness and compassion, of respecting the social distancing guidelines, respecting the washing of hands, respecting wearing masks, respecting not gathering in large groups and enclosed spaces. To me, those are the virtues that we are being called as people of faith to live out in this time.
It sounds like that you may have answered the question I'm about to ask, but those kind of acts, I mean, what else have you seen that gives you hope? At some point, this is going to end, hopefully. Are there things that you're seeing that give you hope?
It's been amazing to me at the number of people who are sending us, as a church, donations that are designated to help people who can't pay their rent, who can't buy their groceries, whose daily labor has been affected and their ability to earn a living wage. People are sending contributions in and saying, we want this contribution to help folks that are in that position. Just today, I was talking with someone who said, you know, I've been taking more walks in my neighborhood, and I feel like I know my neighbors better now than I've ever known them, and I've lived on this street for 45 years. And, you know, those are signs of hope, because our faith is a relational faith. And we are to live in relationship to one another. And while this pandemic has us social distancing from one another, that doesn't mean that we can't deepen and nurture our relationships with one another. It just looks different than what it's looked before. And to me, those are extremely hopeful signs. I think we'll come out of this with some people, you know, a better awareness of what it means to have hardship in your life, to struggle financially, to pay the rent, to put food on the table, because this pandemic has affected people in all economic places. It still affects the poor the greatest. There's no question about that. and that needs to be acknowledged. But I wonder, and I'm hopeful, that we will come out of this with a better understanding of how we need to allot more of our resources and give more attention to the resources we have to fight poverty.
Reverend Nancy Petty is the pastor at Pullen Memorial Baptist Church in Raleigh. Hang tight, more in a moment.
Tested is a production of WUNC North Carolina Public Radio. And this is a good time to say thank you to everyone who supports WUNC. Whether you're an individual donor or a business, we cannot say thank you enough for providing us with the resources and opportunity to serve the state of North Carolina with up-to-the-minute news and information. Everyone at WUNC is working around the clock to do just that at this unique and perilous moment in our history, and we couldn't manage without your help. So thank you. And if you're able, please go to WUNC.org if you want to donate for the first time or perhaps increase your support.
While many people enjoy a sense of community in the halls of a church sanctuary, others find a different, mostly secular kind of gathering sacred, live music. Heather Lagarde is one of the owners of the Haw River Ballroom, an event venue in Saxapahaw. She says the space has been shut down now for about 2 months.
There is a spider web dangling from the disco ball, and that is a very, very sad sight.
Despite an empty hall, Lagarde notes that the Haw River Ballroom is not alone. They've teamed up with other venues across the state to form the North Carolina branch of a national advocacy group for independent event spaces. Lagarde says live music venues were some of the first to close and will likely be the last to reopen. But that doesn't mean the future of live music has to be in jeopardy.
It's already such a fragile ecosystem, the music industry, and all businesses need help. All people, we need help, and we really understand that. But entertainment spaces, mass gathering places, really need a different structure to be able to be here when we're going to be allowed to open again. And we've seen so many different suggestions, from complete wild outfitted suits that are head to toe kind of festival gear PPE with holes for straws and various other things. We have been researching like crazy for ourselves systems that we may build into our space here to make things as safe as possible, from HEPA filters and ultraviolet light to ozonation of the space. I think you will see, at least for the first few months, a line that does make people get their temperature taken and a requirement to wear masks in spaces like this at the early days of shows starting up again. We've heard all different kinds of figures, but the one I hear the most is that for every dollar spent in a music venue, $12 are spent in the community surrounding it. So we do feel like they're a worthwhile and important part of the economic engine of North Carolina. But more than that, of course, we really feel like they are a really special place for people to come together. And we so look forward to the day when we can just blast the music in here, let people dance and jump up and down, and have no fear of celebrating the amazingness of music as a group.
That's it for this episode of Tested. I'm Dave DeWitt. Charlie Shelton Ormond is our producer. Lindsay Foster Thomas is the executive producer. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. Thanks for listening. See you next time.